With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
You know what? We give you such great content. We've had everyone on here from Michael B. Jordan to Ava DuVernay.
Michelle
Yeoh. Yes. We've discovered Henry Golden.
We've had Oscar winners.
We've had Oscar winners.
Emmy winners.
Tony winners. Golden Globe winners.
The least you could do.
There's a rating system, and we would love for you just to click on 5 stars for us and leave a comment. Only if they're nice,
nice
though.
Nice comments.
And you know,
we're very fragile. No, I'm just kidding.
We're very fragile. We're journalists, so we're fragile. But yeah, leave us a comment. Let us know what you think. Rate us 5 stars.
Tell your friends about this show.
Exactly. Tell your friends. Tell your mom.
Recommend it to everybody.
Sit down with your parents. Listen to this over dinner while you're eating food. You eat dinner. But yeah, please rate us. Give us 5 stars. And leave us a comment or two. It would be very much appreciated.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Deadline's New Hollywood Podcast. My name is Dino Ray Ramos. Thank you for tuning in. This week, we have the lovely and gorgeous Angelica Ross on our podcast. And we have our first canine guest. She actually bought her little doggy, who I think she just adopted or purchased, whose name is Hammer, and you will see why when you listen to the episode. Anyways, Angelica Ross is the star of Pose. She starred on Pose as the ferocious and salty and sassy Candy Ferocity. And she also stars in AHS, American Horror Story 1984. And this makes her the first trans woman to secure 2 series regular roles. So she made history. Anyways, she is a fantastic guest, and we were so happy to have her. We have a couple of more episodes left for the rest of the year, so please stay tuned. We have a couple special things happening in January. We'll keep you updated on those. But in the meantime, listen to this wonderful episode of Deadline's New Hollywood Podcast with the lovely Angelica Ross. Thanks.
Angelica, thank you for joining us on Deadline's New Hollywood Podcast. Thank you for bringing Hammer too.
Is this Hammer's first podcast?
Yes.
This is Hammer's first podcast. And this is Hammer is named after the infamous Candy Ferocity's Hammer.
I was gonna ask MC Hammer, but then
Candy always had her hammer, so now I always have my hammer.
Oh my gosh. You guys, Hammer is a dog, by the way, just to clarify.
What kind of dog?
He's a Chihuahua mix. I'm not sure exactly what mix with because I just rescued
him. Oh, he's a rescue.
Look at him. He's like putting his paw over his face like he's like kind of modest.
Yeah.
He's just the most adorable and sweetest dog. And I think it was so meant to be because his owner gave him up on like a Friday, and I came in the next Saturday on that morning, the next day, and got him.
He's so good.
Oh my
too.
God! Makes me want to get a dog.
I know. I'm definitely getting a dog.
Do not rescue.
You
know,
all the way.
Loved by those
rescue all the way.
That, you know, but listen, the best receipt you can ever get is a receipt from adopting a dog.
Yeah. No. Seriously.
Look at him. He looks like he's over it.
Yeah. Okay, Hammer. We'll get you out here as soon as possible. But your journey into Hollywood is quite is quite the story. So I just want to start by asking, was acting and performing always in the cards for you? And if not, when were you sort of bit by the performance
bug? Acting has always been in the cards. Mm. I think it was just one of those things that was just predestined. Mm. When I just remember my first play, I believe, was Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. I think that was my first play, which was first grade. I know that was first grade, but I can't remember. I might have been a star in some kindergarten. Mm-hmm.
Who did you play in this?
I was Sleepy.
Okay. Oh, yes.
I was so good at it. And then from that point on, I did so many school musicals, and then I was in every single school choir. Mm-hmm. I was in the chorales, sight read, and did the jazz choirs and church choirs. Mm. And then I moved into community theater. Mm-hmm. Racine, Wisconsin, and they had this thing called the Racine Kid Players. Mm. So you had to be like a certain age in the Kid Players, and then they had Racine Youth Players for when you aged out of the kids group. And so for a good 11 plus 12 so years, I did musical theater and like learned to tap dance and do all of that.
Yes. Yeah.
So you were a triple threat.
Oh, definitely. Yes. Oh, definitely.
You were getting that triple threat energy going on.
So like, what were the early days of like Hollywood like for you?
The early Hollywood days. the early Hollywood days, I would have to say, were very much me being in stealth. Mm-hmm. And so for those listening that don't know what that means, like stealth is when someone is transitions and is trans and they basically have the privilege of not telling anyone that they're trans. And so no one in their life knows. They're just in stealth mode. No one knows that they're trans. Mm-hmm. And so I auditioned, and I had an agent in Florida for a while in the early years, and I was doing a lot of runways, modeling. I was on the cover of like a jewelry catalog in Florida. Mm-hmm. I would do like diet soup commercials.
Okay, diet soup.
Right, soup. Yes. And then little reality TV show appearances, you know, here and there. And then I started doing extra work, and that's where it got really interesting because I really tried to talk to a lot of the extras who are on set with us, on Pose or anything else, because a lot of times folks don't understand how long the process of being an overnight success is.
Mm, of course, yeah.
And so they think that they're just going to walk into a room, be discovered, and it's going to be on and popping.
Right.
Mm. But that's not how it is. I've been on CSI, I think Miami, there's a show called South Beach when J-Lo was executive producing this show called South Beach on the CW.
Oh, I remember that show.
Yes.
That wasn't the one with Zac Efron.
Jet Jackson.
Yeah.
He was the star of that show.
What's his name? Lee Thompson Young, right? Yeah, that's his name.
That's yes. So, R. you R. know, I did a lot of behind the scenes work and really was really insecure most of the time because Miami especially a lot. That's where I cut my teeth a lot in the business. And Miami has a lot of beautiful women and a lot of thick, beautiful women. Mm-hmm. And so I'm a thin stick, you know, and it could start a fire if I walk too fast kind of situation. And so going to the auditions that I went to, I just always felt like I was going to be found out or just always felt insecure next to the other women. It wasn't until I did a web series called Her Story that was a YouTube series, and we ended up getting nominated for an Emmy where it was trans actors playing trans roles directed by a trans person, written by trans people, where I finally let my guard down.
What year was that, you think?
This was 2016, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
so not too long ago. So that's when I think the mainstream Hollywood finally started to take sort of attention. I remember Kerry Washington tweeting out like, oh, my God, I love Angelica Ross and I love her story. And I'm like, what is happening here, you know? So that was the early, you know, it's just not being sure because it wasn't okay to be out in trans. You didn't know what opportunities were going to be available, how you were going to be pigeonholed or worse. So I just kept that very close my chest until it was...
Was Her Story the first time you felt like you can be... That's crazy.
Her Story was the first one. I just remember... I just know as an actor, like, you need to be able to drop all of your defenses and kind of just act. And I couldn't do that if I was thinking, like, is the director seeing something? Yeah. Like, too close in the camera? Like, am I giving something away? You know, do I sound my voice too deep? Or, you know, just all these different things that I would think. And so in her story, it was just a blessing. That was the first time to be able to let my guard down. And then when I got Pose, then Candy was, right. I just let have. Oh, yeah. Every trans girl that I knew that was just from the hood, that was ready to throw a brick anytime somebody said something halfway crazy, yeah. that Candy was dedicated to her.
Well, speaking of Candy.
Yeah.
You know, when Pose came along, when they announced that cast, it was groundbreaking.
Right.
It was, like, amazing for an amazing win for, like, it hadn't even come out yet, and it was a radio win, yeah. right? But when you signed on, I mean, of course you're excited. It's like Ryan Murphy. But did you also have any apprehensions? And, like, because also, you know, you're going to be the face of this community, or you're going to be one of the faces mm-hmm, of this community. Mm-hmm. And also, narrative-wise, how... Like, how did you deal with your apprehensions, if you did have any?
So I did have some apprehensions, but they weren't what I think people normally were thinking. Because I think when I looked on the internet, you know, and I saw the sort of feedback in the comments that were coming back as the show was being premiered, mm-hmm. some people were like, okay, Ryan Murphy mm-hmm. with LGBTQ content. Mm-hmm. Like, well, not LGBTQ specifically, with trans content yeah. specifically. Because, you know, in the past, no one has been great with trans representation,
right.
you know, including Ryan Murphy when it was on Nip Tuck, you know, and things yeah. like that, or just different examples. However, I knew, I just knew that Ryan Murphy wanted to do things right. And I think that it was very clear in the sort of hiring choices he made, from the consultants to the writers, the directors, yeah. like from top to bottom, he included the community. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just having people of color in the writing room, in the makeup trailer, just at all facets of it. So I immediately sort of relaxed into the situation. The only sort of reservations I did have at first was I did not want to, I turned down the audition a couple of times.
Oh, wow. How many times? They're like, oh, girl, we need you.
Several times.
Oh, my gosh,
why? It was really interesting because they were auditioning over a course of months.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
And they wanted to make sure, I think, that so many people got an opportunity, yeah. even those who weren't really had the acting experience, mm-hmm, that mm-hmm. so many people from the community had a chance to audition. So for months, the auditions were open. And I just kept passing it to other girls, mm-hmm. be like, girl, you should go do this. You should go do this. Mm-hmm. But the two roles that they were auditioning for were Electra and Blanca.
Okay.
And I just didn't feel like it was time for me to play Electra, as mature as Electra is. I didn't want to go there yet. Mm-hmm. And with Blanca, you know, it was described as a Latina trans woman, and I just didn't feel like I fit that.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, well, this is not for me. And I just remember I used to, because I started doing acting a lot of that in, well, I didn't start, but because I did a lot of acting in Florida, I had a what we would call a cattle call agent in Florida. So it's just like they send everybody to all the things. So it just happened to be that after some years, their information was still on my, I think, IMDb. That's like my contact. So someone contacted this agency in Florida to get me to audition for Pose. And so my management was like, no, we have we're bringing you to Buchwald Agency, and they are already working on you to audition for this. And so then I get a call from another agent who is not my agent, someone I barely know, and they're like, I think you should audition for this show, and I'll take 20%. And I was like,
wait, okay.
Okay.
I was like, I don't know what kind of new fool you think I am, but I am not Boo Boo. I don't know Boo Boo the fool, but she is not me. So
I don't know this man.
I'm sorry to this man. Sorry to this man. I couldn't tell you. I don't know. So he tried to get me, and I knew something was up because I started getting a push from so many avenues to do this audition.
Yeah.
And so finally my agent in Buchwald, they were like, look, listen, we want you to do a self-tape in our office. So I self-taped and I got the call back from the self-tape.
But it was just for like a general role, or like,
I read for Blanca.
Okay.
I read for Blanca, but what it was that they were using those two roles to flesh out who else they wanted in the house.
Ooh, nice.
So I didn't know that. So basically when Ryan Murphy met me, that's when he created Candy.
Ooh.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was created after meeting me. Yes.
Candy. Well, like, did you expect Candy to become such a fan favorite?
I did not. I mean,
she's like, we love to hate her, but she was like the Alexis, you know, from Dynasty.
Yes, you know, yeah. Honestly, no one knew what was going on. I think, you know, starting the show, none of us knew where it was going. Mm-hmm. It was just this new show. I don't know if the writers knew exactly where it was fully going, especially since these other two characters in the house weren't necessarily thought of ahead of time. Mm-hmm. It was like we just knew there were other people in the house. Mm-hmm. When I showed up, and this is why I stress to people who ask me for advice, mm-hmm. I stress there is no such thing as small parts.
Yeah, of course.
Only small actors. Because there are people who are very small actors, and they do not understand how to make the most out of a moment. Mm-hmm. I made the most.
No, you did.
Every single moment.
But it's like she stood out so much. And she immediately, I want to say from the pilot.
Thank you.
Like, I was like, oh, we're going to hate her.
Well, you know, from the pilot, Ryan Murphy was giving me sort of the freedom to ad-lib. Mm-hmm. So I believe the first line I have where I call Blanca a cross-dresser, you know. And he's like, because he's like, Angelica, come up with something mean, and you know, and that line literally comes from Community.
Yeah,
that struggle, that context around that whole thing.
That term
shade,
is like so toxic.
It's loaded.
Yeah.
It's toxic and it's loaded. And we needed to show how this is not just the best examples of the community.
Right.
You know, these are the girls from the margins. And they don't always say things politically correct. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, she went on a journey, and, like, spoiler alert. Yes. Like, if you guys haven't watched it already.
Yeah. Girl. Yeah. We all see the Doom girl. It's in the UK now, girl.
It's in the UK. Once it reaches the UK, all bets are off.
Yeah.
No, but so, like, I remember I did interview Ryan and Janet about your character and that one episode where she dies off. And I asked, like, what kind of conversation do you have? But I was watching it, and I was like, this can't be real. Like, I was watching it, and I was like, she's going to pop up and be like, I'm still alive, bitches.
Right.
But it was real, and it's like all, because it's such a heightened reality. Yes. So you think that this was just going to be all this farce, but Candy did get murdered. But what was the conversation behind that? Because we are constantly seeing, especially with trans women of color, these narratives that it's a kill your gays, kill your queer community folks. But how did you, Janet and Ryan, just balance that conversation? Like, what did you do to make sure that it didn't fall into those traps?
Well, I think that this conversation happened in stages and layers. Where, I mean, obviously I wasn't involved in the initial parts of the conversation because this is something I think that got born in the writing room.
Yeah.
And I believe that they wanted to, with the second season, the first season was sort of like rose-colored glasses of the community. Mm-hmm. And you did see some of the struggle, but really so many people were so tense and had so much anxiety watching season one because they kept waiting for the moment that one of us was going to die.
Yeah.
They were like, if this is what the show is about, then somebody dying, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, Ryan, we didn't really want to have that happen in the first season. Come second season, I believe, you know, they knew that this needed to happen. Then the question came, who?
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, I as far as what I've heard, you know, the suggestion came from Ryan, you know, that it'd be me. And he wanted to make sure that the audience had enough of a fondness for the character, even that so much that someone that even if that's annoying or that you might have a love-hate, but you still would feel some kind of way if something happened to that person. So they then he called me, and when he told me what was going to happen, I was shocked, and I had so many different emotions going through my body, but mostly I was really stifled because I wanted to sort of object a little bit, but the way that I am, the way that I'm very someone who has introspect, or you know, just And so whenever a question comes up, like sort of my intuition sort of automatically answers, or, you know, it's this thing. And so I want to object, but each time I wanted to object, you know, my mind was saying, but what about any of the other girls? Like, mm-hmm. So I'm like, why me? And then my brain would be like, well, why, you know,
yeah,
the other
somebody
girl?
Else, yeah.
Why her? You know, yeah. And so it just, every objection that I could ever come up with, and it was just, then it came down to why not me?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
And then that is the question that, unfortunately, you know, where we're at right now, and I hope that the show starts to illustrate, but... Because all trans people right now have the unfortunate feeling that, well, I know a lot of trans people, especially trans women of color, have the unfortunate feeling of, could I be next?
Right.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, as a collective culture, I think we do need to be in a mindset of thinking, why not me? When it comes to all that is happening right now, mm-hmm. when it comes to immigration issues, when it comes to, you know, police brutality, yeah. when it comes to, I mean, you got a woman who was playing video games with
right.
her nephew
in her own home.
In her own home. Yeah. So why not me?
Right.
Why couldn't this kind of tragedy be at my front door? Why? Just because I'm not trans?
Mm.
I might have a family member that I don't know yet that is going to come out as trans, or that has been living part-time as trans because they don't have the courage yet to tell us that they're trans.
Yeah.
And because they're in that struggle alone, they might end up facing violence.
Right.
And those, you know, very dramatic consequences in the street. And so we have to collectively start to ask the question, why not me? Why not us? Why not here? Yeah. Why couldn't this happen here?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, with that, when I did talk to, I told Janet, I was like, oh, I didn't want her to die because she had so much story to tell.
Mm.
And then Janet was all, that's exactly why, you know,
yeah.
we had to kill her off.
Absolutely.
Because so many people, whether it be trans women of color or anyone's from the margins, who do get killed unlawfully, they have so much story to tell, and we can't hear their stories anymore.
And you know what's sort of interesting about that moment is that when we were filming the funeral scenes, and that was quite a day.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like a long day of just lots of crying.
Mm-hmm. And also with your parents. Oh,
my God. Yes, I know. And that, luckily with the parent scene, we only did that like once or twice.
Mm-hmm.
It was just something that was so raw
yeah.
that the emotions were there.
Mm.
But it was something where with my community, you know, because I am visible, because I'm an advocate, because I've been on the ground before I got famous, before all this stuff, I founded Trans Tech Social Enterprises
yeah.
to help folks like learn tech skills
yeah, yeah.
and get jobs. I've done a lot of things. And so that communicates to a lot of people that I'm more accessible than I'm really am.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of times people are messaging me, whether
yeah.
it's on Twitter, whether it's on Instagram. And when a trans woman of color dies, they're looking for me to say something or me.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
Like, and while I was filming this, I had nothing left.
Mm.
I had nothing else to give but what I was giving to Candy's story.
Mm-hmm.
And so I felt these mixed feelings that I felt terrible that I was not available to my community because
yeah.
folks were also being like, why aren't you
of
saying
course.
Something?
Yeah.
You should
yeah.
be doing this. And y'all, now you're just a celebrity and all. And it's like, no, but I'm putting all I have right now into the story so that it has the effect that we wanted
yeah.
to have to go across.
Which is saying a lot in itself.
Yeah.
Right?
And
yeah.
so, and then you have this kind of split story where Candy's story ends. And like you said, she has so much more stories, so much that could have happened.
Yeah.
But we get to see so much more
mm-hmm.
in Angelica Ross.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning we get to see this black trans woman live and get her flowers while
mm-hmm.
she's living.
Right.
Yeah.
But we haven't seen the last of Candy.
I feel like the writers are cooking up right now how
yeah.
do we bring Candy back season 3.
And we're seeing Angelica Ross in American Horror Story now.
Yes.
So were you in talks to do American Horror Story while you were doing Pose?
From the beginning.
Okay. So,
So you had that.
I had that bag secure.
Yes.
Yeah.
So how was it like for you sort of switching gears? Because they're both very like sort of genre driven,
yes.
but two different genres.
Yeah, yeah.
So how was it like doing
it
transitioning?
It was very different. I realize you know, you just live and you learn. And one thing, I learned so much from this job. And that's one thing I can always say is that I'm constantly learning. It was one of the most difficult jobs of my life. Mm-hmm. Just the night filming, the hours. On this show, my role was a lot bigger than Candy's role on Pose. And so I was there every day. Mm-hmm. And I was working 18 hours or, you know, how many hours every day. So that was a lot to get used to. I would also say in the beginning, I didn't realize, and I would always say trust your instincts, especially when they work for you, when you're very in tune with yourself. On Pose, they let me do a lot of ad-libbing, and I just made up a lot of things as I went along. Mm-hmm. On American Horror Story, I stuck to the script, but then realized kind of and later on that they kind of were almost expecting me sometimes to do a little bit of ad-libbing. Mm-hmm. So I did sort of towards the end, but it just taught me how to, you know, scream and do different things. I was scared. I was like, oh my God, you're like, what is my scream going to sound like? I don't even know. And then I was on set and I was getting some coffee and I burned my hand.
And then you screamed.
And I screamed
and
so loud.
And they were all there.
They were like, yeah. And I was like, okay, great.
So now you just have to burn your hand.
There you go.
Now I was so down packed that I was screaming the entire season.
Were you a horror fan before?
No.
Are you a scaredy cat?
I'm a scaredy cat. I will say that just before this, though, I did become a huge fan of American Horror Story specifically. Yeah. But it was because my girlfriend, Amaya Scott, who plays Cotton
Star.
She's a huge American Horror Story fan, and so I would go over to her house. We both lived in Atlanta, and I would go over to her house, and she was like, girl, you gotta start, you know, we'll start with Coven, we started with Murder House, and I hit play, and then, like, the letters came on the screen with a noise, and I said, nope, this is
not having it.
Just the letters and a noise.
The intro credits to all... installments are freaky.
They are. Yes. I mean,
I started with Coven, and that was my season. That dragged me in.
Okay.
Yeah. Love Coven. And so, obviously, you made history as being the first trans actress to be a series regular on two different shows. Right. How do you sort of process that, and what does that mean to you?
Okay. So, to be honest, I don't process any of that first.
Okay.
To do X, Y, and Z. I... honestly, to be really honest, could care less about being the first to do anything. Mm-hmm. I think there's a rap lyric that, you know, is like something about worrying about doing it first when you should be worrying about who did it best.
Mm. Oh, but, who said that?
I think it's Jay-Z.
I was going to say, I feel like it's Jay-Z. That sounds very Jay-Z.
But, you know, it's one of those things that... feel like sometimes we're, and this is could get me in trouble, but whatever. But like, I feel like we're in a time where people are looking for any and everything to make them stand out,
right,
and look special or feel special.
Of course.
And sometimes, unfortunately, that's kind of what it was in the beginning when it came to being trans. Mm-hmm. When people didn't know anything about trans, it was the Jerry Springer, Ricky Lake
era
of me just saying that I'm trans brings all of this scandalous attention, right. And what's your story and what have you. Now we're living in an age where, you know, again, through my organization like Trans Tech and through other movement pieces, we're saying to folks, okay, now, you know, being trans is not enough. It's not just that isn't enough, only that, that's not the most defining aspect of your life. Yeah. Being gay, being trans, being bi should not be the most defining thing. When me being trans is probably the most boring thing about me. You know what I mean? Like, I gotta say I got some adventures. So. I do have some adventures, but it's just to say that all these titles and labels, you know, I'm from the, when Eckhart Tolle came out with his books, A New Earth and The Power of Now and all these different things, like, I would love to spread what I learned in those books, like, far and wide, because, you know, he talks about how we get trapped in these labels. Mm-hmm. And then we're living up to a role or what this label or role says I should be and do.
Right.
That's even with folks who come out as gay, who I found out a lot of my gay brothers who come out are realizing they aren't gay. There may be pansexual.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There might be bisexual, but what they were running from was straight. Mm-hmm. They were running from a label mm-hmm. that didn't fit them and only to trap themselves into another label that kind of confined them.
Right.
So I think that we really have to work towards these finding these words and having this language that brings us together across continents, finding these terms and things that help us come closer, but not relying on those things to give us a free pass to say, now I know who you are and what you're about.
Yeah, that's true.
That was the best.
Because I don't. The only way I'll know that is through the time spent experiencing you.
Right.
Well, you kind of talked about this a little bit already. You know, you are in this position where you are, you know, this advocate. But now, do you feel some sort of pressure, responsibility? I know you talked about, like, labels, but this thing where you're kind of automatically put in, you're in the spotlight, you're automatically put in this position where people are, all eyes are on you, especially the trans community, trans women of color. But do you feel this responsibility to be this advocate and give even more than you were before and give more opportunities to people and kind of letting the ladder down, so to speak?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Always. Yeah. And the reason why I say that is because of the conversation around privilege.
Mm-hmm.
If I could say one thing that everyone, no matter how they identify, needs to understand and learn, is that if you hold life in your body, you hold privilege. And you need to develop a conversation around owning your privilege,
mm-hmm.
as well as how to expand
mm-hmm.
your privilege. So for me, starting out, there's a lot of marginalization I experienced as a black person, just being black. Then being black and trans, on top of that, that's more marginalization that I experience.
Mm-hmm.
But I can see.
Mm-hmm.
But I can hear.
Yeah.
But I can walk.
Mm.
There's a lot of privilege I hold over other people who don't have those privileges. So for me, I also have experienced what we call cis-assuming privilege,
mm-hmm.
which means that people assume I'm not trans.
Mm-hmm.
So I can go to the bathroom. I pretty much haven't had too much problem getting a job mm-hmm. until maybe they get down to my ID before mm-hmm. that was all fixed.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a lot of privilege there. And the reality is I was maybe 10 years ago, 2003-ish, I was engaged to be married. I was in a relationship for about 8 years, and I decided to break it off with him because I was living stealth.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I was living in a bubble of privilege, and I realized to whom much is given, much is expected,
right.
and that I was given so much, and that if I chose to actually wage my privilege in this world, that I could do a lot with that.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm hoping to teach other people is how to wager, how to gamble when you don't come from a financial background,
mm-hmm.
when you got your own time,
uh-huh.
when you got your own sweat and blood to be able to put onto the table.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, that's
dollops of knowledge.
Yeah, seriously.
Are being dropped on us like Daisy sour cream.
Right. I've never even thought about it like that. That was such a good point. Oh gosh, that was great. Anyways, so just to wrap up this segment
before we get into the physical activity.
Right. What next do you have coming up that you can talk about? And is there something that you haven't done that you are really wanting to do?
Well, I will say what I haven't done yet that I really want to do is a lot more action. I want to be in some superhero movies,
mm-hmm.
mm.
but also actually I want to be about that Jackie Chan life.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? I want to be doing stunts, like, because I did most of my stunts on American Horror Story.
Okay.
Like, okay.
With my stunt doubles, I'm sorry, y'all. I had y'all suffer for so much, but, for most of the stunts. I love it. I want to get my body into, you know, get even more excuse to sort of keep my body in shape. But, like, you know, that's what I want to do. I want to do action, fighting, superhero type roles. Whether I'm playing cis or trans is not really important to me. I think it is important to eventually have maybe an openly trans superhero, which is great. Like, we have Natalie Maines, I believe, on Supergirl.
Yes, yes.
You know, but also, like, I'm on American Horror Story, and I play a, just a woman who's not trans, or at least if she is, it's not important to the story.
Right, right.
You know, so I will want to do that. As far as upcoming things,
you could break it, break the news here.
Yeah, no, I mean, all they're actually it's this. It's I just wrapped on American Horror Story, so nothing is for sure.
Okay,
but
okay.
I just know that my phone is ringing off the hook.
Are you gonna take a vacation?
I'm looking. I'm hoping to go to Africa in December.
Yeah. What part?
Where is going?
So I'm going. Me and my assistant. I'm gonna basically. I want to go for personal reasons, but at the same time, I'm going to do a documentary.
Ooh.
And I want to visit LGBTQ organizations throughout Africa. Yeah. So I'm hoping to go like through Cape Town, Johannesburg, maybe. The deal is that there's some other places, and there's been some online conversation about this where we. I'm very well aware of the kill gays bill in Uganda, and I'm very well aware of how the United States plays a part in sort of lighting that fire. And so I have had some folks sort of warn me about going to that area, but I've also had local Ugandan activists who have said, like, no, don't believe the hype. Yes, it. You know, we have the situation, but there are pockets. There are, you know,
right.
There are ways
it's not
that
as
you
bad
can,
as not people
as they say.
Portray,
you know,
yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm definitely not going there blind. I'm going to be doing a lot of research and talking to a lot of people on the ground there. But I am so excited to visit
God.
Africa.
That's
well,
exciting.
I won't be there for.
You're just there for.
I'm just there for.
You're
well,
just for family.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Great.
Family's in Nigeria.
Nigeria.
Yeah. So.
Wait. Okay. So, are you a comic book nerd or like superhero person? Who is there a superhero you want to play?
Well. I mean, there is one, and Misty. I think it's Misty Knight.
From the Luke Cage.
Yes.
Yes.
So there's one, and there's been a few black superheroes that I've seen. Just I feel like the ones I really would like to discover the ones who've been there a while that just haven't had their spotlight yet. They haven't had their show. They haven't had, you know, there's so many.
We all know, like, Marvel has, like, millions.
Yeah.
And even DC has, like, millions.
You know, I'd be interested, too, to see – I would love to see some collaboration with, like, Marvel or DC where they bring in someone like – I know, like, a Cat Black Cat Black is this black trans woman illustrator who does a lot of like amazing comic stuff and just animation type stuff. But just I would love to see someone make the effort to bring in trans creators to help create the next trans superhero. Not just have this thing where it's an indie effort at creating this thing,
but
where
like,
it's
like
a collaboration.
Right. Well, we're going to now wrap it up with a section we like to call Facts. The Facts. Yes. FAQs. So these are just random-ass questions.
Okay.
Fun, sometimes intrusive. No, that's right. Okay, so since you're on American Horror Story, what was the first horror movie that kept you up at night?
Nightmare on Elm Street.
The very first one?
Yes. I mean, that you couldn't go to sleep.
No,
true. You can't go to sleep.
Yeah. I remember, I felt the same way. And I remember Johnny Depp was in the very first one.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know what kept bringing me back each time. Like,
I know, right?
I don't really do horror, but something about those Wes Craven. You know, Wes Craven, too, what I love about horror, my favorite thing about certain horror is the comedy.
Oh, yeah, because
if it's funny, then you can get me in. Scream, all of those.
Oh,
I
Scream
is so funny.
The Scream trilogy on VHS.
Wow. okay, so impose you do a lip sync to Stephanie Mills Never Knew Love Like This Before.
Yes.
What is your go-to karaoke song, or what would be the theme song of your life if you could choose that?
Oh, wow.
Whichever,
or it could be both. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Easier, unless you don't karaoke.
Okay, so yeah. I think my go-to karaoke song is More Than Words by Extreme.
Good one.
Yes, that's my go-to karaoke song. A song that would be the score to my life, Jesus, there. You know, honestly, right now, I'll just update it because I know that I have one.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
so right now, the most recent I would say is Bigger by Beyonce.
Ooh.
Anything by
You're
Beyonce.
You're part of something yeah, way bigger. Yeah. Not just a speck in the universe.
That's a good
That is good.
Okay. Here's a scenario. FX contacts you, right? Mm-hmm. And they say, hey, we want to make a Candy Ferocity prequel. Mm-hmm. Who do you get to play you?
Like, who do I get to play me?
Yeah.
First of all, I would say, how much is my check? Okay, now that we've got
get your EP
business
credit
handle.
On there.
We got that handled. Okay, so now who would play me? And you know, or the prequel. You know, there is a gender fluid sort of like non-binary person that does a lot of host work for Slay TV.
Okay.
Eddie Jarrell, I think, believe.
Okay.
And I believe, because that's the only name that I know them by in social media or whatnot. But they just, I don't know, they just, they remind me of the sass, but also just the bony ferocity. I hope she hears that and all the loveliness, you know, and all her boniness and her skinniness. But like, I've been a skinny girl, especially before Candy got a lot of flack for her body and that she wasn't woman enough. And I had that same experience most of my life as trans, where before I went through a lot of the surgeries and the different things that I did, I was more muscular, had a six pack and different things. And so like, being skinny as well, they always say if you're like a black trans woman or Asian trans woman or white trans woman or whichever culture you come from, it's this interesting thing where your community is able to clock you quicker than someone outside of your community. And part of that, I think, comes from, like, let's say with black women, we might be a little bit thicker. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so having these knock-knees skinny boys, like, sometimes, like, or, you know, early transitioning trans folks, like, that's as I was getting clocked all the time.
Oh, no.
But, you know, like, even when I went to Miami, I had a really interesting situation where I just got clocked in Miami after filming Claws, and they kept calling me a man as I was walking down the beach.
Oh, no.
I think it's just because, like, all the women in Miami were just so voluptuous, I was just a stick at the point, you know?
Yeah, that's the same thing with Africans. Like, it's like,
if you're not thick,
they think you're poor, because they think you can't afford food.
Yes.
So a lot of times, like, if they see a smaller person, they assume that you're impoverished.
Maybe I was for a while. You know, it was hard to pay rent and put food
like,
on the table.
But it's like the Africans or even like black women, we do that a lot to ourselves too.
Yes.
Like we're quick to point out like this is not the typical way that we look, but it's like it's weird because we come in all shapes and sizes.
Exactly.
So this one is a would you rather. Would you rather lose the ability to read or lose the ability to speak?
Hard questions here. I like your expression.
Yes.
I would say lose the ability to speak.
Mm.
Because what I have learned is that silence speaks.
That's true.
And I've learned how to speak less and make so that when I do speak, that it's powerful. So I think that if I lost the ability to speak, if I could read, as long as I could continue to improve my comprehension of the world around me, I could find other ways to communicate.
That's very good. That's a very good point.
Good. That's
I'm
the
gonna
correct
say that
answer.
Too.
That's the correct answer.
I choose that answer too.
That's the correct one. You got that one right. That's your question. So this is our final question. We asked this to all of our guests. You kind of answered some of this already.
Yeah, with Eddie Jarrell. Yeah.
But are there other underrepresented voices in the industry, actors, writers, producers, storytellers, creators that are not in the mainstream that you think deserve some shine?
So I feel like, you know, there are folks out there like Alexandra Gray who she's been out there. She's on Empire right now. Mm-hmm, she's been on like Chicago Med and Cold Black, and just she's been like featured in a lot of different things. So just seeing those people that are constantly out there working, I'm going to say something slightly controversial.
Yes, we like the controversy.
What is it? But spill that tea.
Well, there is this element of art that has to be earned, and that pushes an artist to get up and approach the canvas, to sit at the piano, to go to their studio. So I think, again, we are in a place right now where people are still looking at opportunity as this opportunity of being discovered, when it's really a process of an opportunity of discovering yourself and understanding. For me, one of the things that I've learned how to do is create spotlight. When people aren't looking at you or looking for you, how to make the spotlight come to you. And that comes from just being diligent at working. So I would say, yes, I do want to see more trans people and LGBTQ people in the spotlight doing those things. But what I mostly want to see is the hard work from folks breaking through to the surface that, that aren't cued by the sort of materialistic signs of success. That folks who are willing to be on a show or two and then not have any work and still be willing to go back to the table or still doing different things.
That's a really, really good point. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And thank you, Hammer.
For all these gems. is Hammer sleeping?
No, he's just relaxed.
He's so calm.
Is he normally like this?
Yes.
Okay. I want to talk like that.
I know, me too.
He is my emotional support since I don't have a man. Dog, and it's been amazing.
That's so funny because my sister said she got a dog because she has two boys and her husband. She's like, it's a boy, and she's like, it's the only man that listens to me.
Yes. The only man that really loves me.
Aww. Well, thank you so
Angelica.
Much.
Thank you.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.